Every time I hear Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg play, I am more convinced that she is an extraordinary violinist with a genuine artistic personality in the grand manner. That's what classical music critic Tim Page said in a 1986 New York Times concert review. Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg's career took off after she won the Naumburg International Violin Competition in 1981. Since then, she's been a much-in-demand soloist in Europe and America. She's widened her popularity through appearances on The Johnny Carson Show. Salerno-Sonnenberg was born in Rome. When she was 8 years old, on the advice of her music teacher, she moved to America with her family to study music. She recorded 2 albums in the last year. This is an excerpt from her recording of Brahms Sonata No. 2. Cecile Lacott is at the piano. Like you're starting a new part of your career in the sense that you're no longer a prodigy and you're even not the newcomer anymore. You're becoming a more established figure in the world of music.
I do, in the sense that I don't feel so much while I'm playing, even if it's a debut, that I have to prove anything. I'm very comfortable now with my interpretations in the way that I play. And so in that way, I don't feel new. I do my thing, and I'm much more comfortable with that.
When you say do your thing, do you mean that you interpret as freely as you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I always did. I mean, mm-hmm. I play the way I play. It's I have really no choice in the matter. But now I feel more confident with what I do musically, what I do on stage, with the whole career. I just feel more comfortable with it.
How did you start playing violin?
I was 5 years old. My family, we were all in Italy, and it's a very Italian musical family, typical. Would have people over for dinner, eat a very good dinner. Afterwards, entertain, and that meant my mother playing the piano, my brother singing, my grandfather playing the trumpet, and my grandmother playing the kazoo. I mean, the whole family was very, very musical, and I sat under the piano. I was very young, and I didn't have an instrument, so a friend of my mother's suggested to her that she get me an instrument because I might get a complex, just because I had nothing to play. So she went out and bought this violin and bow and the case and rosin. The whole kit was like $40, and that's how it started.
Did you like it right away?
I liked playing it. I thought it was a really neat toy, but I certainly was not into practicing.
Your mother was a music teacher. Did she ever teach you?
Yeah, well, she didn't teach me. She made me practice. And in that I mean that she made sure that I did my allotted time when I was young. And when I was young, I would play with her little pieces and sonatas and things like that.
I think sometimes it's hard when it's someone in your family who's teaching you.
Yeah, it wasn't always very pleasant.
What was unpleasant about it?
Well, because she was my mother as well as my coach when I was younger, and if I didn't play the way she wanted, there's no playing, no going outside, no dinner, no TV. So that wasn't too cool.
What were the rewards for playing well?
Nothing. I get to have dinner. nothing special. Poor family.
Did you ever, when you got a little older, go through a period of rebelliousness where you wanted to stop playing or to stop playing classical music?
Yeah, I went through a period for 9 months where I didn't play, actually, at all. I was 19 years old, and I it was a period of uncertainty. I just didn't know if I wanted to do this for the rest of my life, and more importantly, whether I could actually succeed at it. It wasn't even a matter of knowing whether I wanted to play the violin for the rest of my life. I knew that, but it was not knowing whether I could actually succeed the way I wanted to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the premise was, if I don't try and I fail, well, then I have an excuse. But if I do give it my all and I fail, then I'm not good enough. And am I ready to take that risk?
Mm-hmm. Well, what made you decide you did want to take that risk?
I missed playing the violin. I wanted to play again, and I thought, I have to try, and if I fail, I fail. Within the 9 months, I gathered the courage to admit that if I fail, then I'm not good enough. Then I'll have to do something else. But I cannot quit without giving it my best effort.
So do you think that was really a necessary stage to go through so that you could really gather up your own courage and self-motivation, which you'd really need in the years ahead?
Yes, it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
When you're really starting off with a career, you have to build an image in a way. I mean, you get your press kit and your photographs and everything. Was that something you gave a lot of thought, or was that stuff you really left in the hands of others?
I have learned a lot in the last, since Naumburg, in the last 8 years. I have learned a lot about the business of classical music. At that time, no, I didn't know anything about it.
You've gotten a lot of attention for the way you dress and perform, and sometimes wearing jumpsuits, wearing very brightly colored things, when the more kind of traditional costume is a black dress or something like that.
Not something necessarily for women, no, but dresses are more traditional, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How did you feel about the reaction you got to the clothes that you wore?
I was very surprised. I remember specifically going shopping for something that I could wear on stage that was comfortable. And we saw a purple jumpsuit, and I tried it on. It was extremely comfortable. It looked good, and the color was very, very good for the stage. So we bought it. I bought it. And this truly unbelievable response, I was shocked. It still surprises me that people find it so unusual what I wear on stage.
What does it say to you that it's found so unusual?
It says that classical music needs, I think, to not be so steeped in traditions of long, long ago. I have an enormous amount of respect for the stage and for performance, and I would never think of walking on stage in anything that isn't elegant and appropriate. But if you didn't see what I wore, and if you read what they say I wear, you wouldn't think so. I mean, you'd think I walked out in a jeans or something, and it's not the case. And I reiterate my main concern on stage is comfort, because I don't want to think about anything but the music. I don't want to have to feel my clothes or that the shoes are too tight or anything like that to distract me. That's why I wear what I wear.
You're on the road a lot now. Guest performing with orchestras around the world. Do you practice in your hotel room?
Yeah, I practice in my hotel room. I don't like practicing in my hotel room, and because of the heavy schedule, which any artist has to deal with, I have therefore decided to take a short sabbatical in which I will be able to practice leisurely and with concentration and without getting calls from neighbors saying, please stop, and I'm trying to take a nap and things like that. So I am taking a short sabbatical in order for me to practice the way that I would like to practice.
Is that a difficult decision to make?
No, not really. It wasn't difficult at all for me to make. It becomes a little difficult to arrange when you are booked 2 years in advance. So that sort of thing is a little difficult, but it's certainly not a difficult decision for me. I want to have some good practice time, quality practice time.
What are some of the things you want to do over the next 5 months on your sabbatical besides practicing at home?
Well, I will be taking lessons, which is something I'd like. I'm really, really looking forward to. In no way could possibly say that I know everything there is to know about playing the violin. Nobody does. So I'm so looking forward to becoming a student again for a few months. And I'll do some fishing, and I will be able to relax from this schedule. And I'm also planning on doing some writing and learning German.